Welcome back to another episode of Vanguard Radio, and I'm your host, J. Richard Jones. As technology develops, the need for surveillance and security is greatly increasing. On the show today, we're going to talk about some of the technological developments that are helping surveillance and security to really up their game. Joining me on the line is Keith Desaw from Axis Communications Canada, a market leader in network video and security and surveillance solutions. Keith has more than 15 years of providing insights and strategy tactics around business development, solution selling, and account management in the security and surveillance industry. He's responsible for business operations here in Canada, including new business development and sales team leadership. Keith's been involved in industry-leading associations and was featured in Security Products and Technology, otherwise known as SPNT Magazine, for one of the top 10 under 40 decision makers in the security surveillance industry in Canada. Keith, welcome to Vanguard Radio.
Thank you for having me, Richard. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, glad to have you on the show. We're always interested in hearing about security and surveillance updates and what's going on with technology. To begin, tell us a little more about Axis Communications and how are you guys different to other security camera manufacturers? Because that's a pretty competitive market.
Definitely a competitive market. Well, I think it all starts with our backbone, like what was Axis was created for originally. We're a Swedish-based company. We were started back in the 80s, 1984 specifically, by three gentlemen in Sweden, Martin Gren, Michael Carlson, and Keith Bloodworth. And those three gentlemen had created a print server. And this is during a time before the print servers were actually built into printers, and this is how to connect essentially a printer to an IBM mainframe system. So that's kind of how we started. And then in 1996, Axis developed the world's first IP camera. And the real purpose of it, I think, back then was to actually do it for video teleconferencing. However, it kind of changed the way we do security, and it really reshaped the focus of our company. Print servers obviously died a quick death when they started including them in printers, so they weren't required anymore. And the IP video camera essentially became our number one product. Back then, in 1996, the industry, security industry specifically, was heavily driven by analog. And the companies that were playing in the game at that time kind of pioneered that analog technology. And what happened is, as things slowly started to shift over the years, it really gave us, because we were an IT company in a security world, it gave us a unique look on the security industry. And we were able to innovate in different manners than anyone else. And we really drove innovation in the security world and moving everything from analog to IP. I think that's one of the things that set Axis apart at its early stages and currently still does today.
That's a great overview. And I remember some of those products and some of the things that came out in my former publishing life as a publisher of technology media. On the defense side, I'm curious because the military and defense community are pretty demanding in terms of products for security. What's changed? What are you being tasked with now to produce in terms of cameras and products to help serve that industry?
You know, a lot of times, over the course, as things have changed from analog to IP, the ability to record in higher resolutions have, you know, come about. And today we can record in 20 megapixel, I think is the largest we make for a single sensor camera. But going along with that, it does require storage and retention in order to store that data, because it's not like your camcorder or your cell phone where you're just taking snapshots here or there. You're recording 24/7 at a full 30 frame per second. And so imagine that much data needs to be stored somewhere. And depending on the business, you know, if it's military or government, they're going to have what's called a retention policy. And that means they might have to store for 2 weeks. They may have to store for 2 years. It just depends on the type of business they're in. And essentially, having a lot of resolution means having a lot of data, which means that you're going to have dedicated storage for all of that equipment. So I think what's changed over the years is really driving us to reduce the amount of bandwidth coming off our product. So increase the resolution, but reduce the amount of bandwidth coming off our products. And we do that in many different ways. But that's kind of how the industry has evolved by the needs of I guess, military and defense contractors requiring security is higher resolution. They want better technology. They want technology that will detect drones. They want technology that's going to detect people in when you have no visibility. So when there is no lighting per se, and a camera typically can't pick that up, you know, they want technology that's going to be able to see when you can't see, essentially. So there's a lot of different things that really drive us to innovate from that vertical, I guess, the military and defense sector.
I'd be curious, in terms of data storage needs, are you implementing cloud technology to alleviate some of the storage needs?
We definitely can, and we have, and we've actually had a cloud-based solution for video storage for many years now. There is significant dilemmas when it comes to the Canadian climate for that, and the reason being is in order to upload video into the cloud, you require a lot of bandwidth to do that, and there's a cost associated with that because we're not like the United States where they have, you know, unlimited data for free. You're paying for that data. So there is some restrictions when it comes to sending data into the cloud from a cost perspective, as well as from a bandwidth perspective. The tunnel that goes up into the cloud is usually pretty limited as well. So definitely can do that. What we're finding nowadays is storage locally tends to be still the widely selected choice as opposed to cloud-based storage. But there is that possibility of doing cloud as well.
Yeah, well, I hear you on the storage thing for sure. One of the terms we hear a lot about when it comes to video surveillance is secured perimeter. Can you share with our listenership and our readership what types of technology you're using to provide a secured perimeter? And how does that tie in with audio?
Okay, so there's a few different types of technologies when you're trying to secure a perimeter that can be deployed when it comes to surveillance. When we say surveillance, we mean not just visible surveillance, but actually the ability to detect threats that are coming into that premise or that perimeter. So what we typically can do from optical cameras, so standard, you know, whether it's 1080p, whether it's 5 megapixel, 10 megapixel, whatever type of camera you're using for that application, really covering the perimeter of that so you get a good visual during the day. Thermals can be deployed as well, and that doesn't matter if it's day, night, or foggy weather, rainy weather. It sees through anything. In no light, it'll have the same vision as if it was bright outside. It works off of heat detection. So thermals are also used in those type of applications. We also have the ability to connect radars, and radar detection is a relatively new for Axis. We came out with our radar about 2 years ago, and it's typically meant for short-range detection. The ability to detect up to roughly 164 feet, someone entering a premise, and gives you a visual when you didn't have a camera there. So the ability to have almost like a breadcrumb trail driven from a Google Maps image and then imported into your video management system to be able to see an object moving in that scene. And then if you tie all of those together, and maybe even a pan-tilt zoom camera as well, within an analytics software we make called Perimeter Defender, it actually has the ability to detect threats on its own. So if, for example, you can set it up that if anyone were to enter the perimeter, it would trigger an alarm. And triggering of alarm can be done in a few different ways. It could trigger a guard to dispatch to the area, or with the advent of IP-based speakers, as you'd indicated a second ago, which we now manufacture as well, you can add a speaker to actually play a pre-recorded message or to have a conversation with the person through a guard. So, for example, a person were to walk up to a fence line, the public area of the fence line is what we call the warning zone, and Perimeter Defender, the analytic, will recognize that. The interior of the fence is a secure zone, which means that nobody's supposed to do an alarm zone, so nobody's supposed to get into that area. So what you could do is have a speaker, a camera, and the analytic running. If anyone were to enter the warning area or the area of the public area, but in within the close to the fence line, it could play a pre-recorded message just letting them know that you're approaching a secure area. Please vacate the premises immediately. And then if they were to go over that fence line and enter the other area, the restricted area, then you can have a strobe light play, a different message play, authorities have been dispatched immediately, whatever it may be. So you have the ability to do multiple things based on the level of threat from that application, utilizing IP-based speakers for that application.
Wow, that's really powerful. Keith, can you comment on your cybersecurity strategy and how that fits into what Axis is doing?
Absolutely, yeah. So Axis, because we're an IT-based company, we started, our roots is from the IT world. We've always had a very strong cyber policy, and we've only of recently have made it, you know, kind of public that we are providing hardening guides, that we have provided some tools, especially for installers, to be able to implement some cybersecurity policies on their systems and make it easy for them to do that. We also have created the ability to, or force the installer to change the password on the camera, so you cannot just leave it defaulted. I think that's one of the major concerns when, and in a lot of the areas of break-in when it comes to hacking of surveillance cameras, is leaving a password and ID defaulted. Very simple to get that information through the web. If you were to just pull up a manual on anyone's camera, you can find the default password and default user ID, and away you go. You can just kind of go in. So we've now made it, we've hard-coded that so that you have to change the password as soon as you boot it up. You can't just leave it as pre-defaulted. Those are one of the areas. And then we have different levels of cybersecurity hardening, and we provide a guide for that all the way up to level 6. So we're, you know, we definitely spend a lot of time educating the security market on cybersecurity and making sure that our products are installed correctly and with cyber in mind.
Well, because of your background in IT, you guys sound like you're ahead of the curve already. On that vein, I'd be curious to know how artificial intelligence is affecting your strategies and technologies, and how you're going to work with that to improve your product lines.
AI and machine learning are definitely buzzwords in the security industry today. I would say that AI is definitely there, but it's kind of at its infancy stage, and it's really server-based. Machine learning is a little different. That's being able to learn from, I guess, repetitiveness of the system and then make decisions on its own. And what we've done with that is because, you know, remember at the beginning of our conversation, we talked about higher resolution means higher bandwidth. Well, in order to do a lot of the analytics that are taking place today, if you want AI or machine learning, you're required to buy a server to do that, which means all your cameras must feed into a server. The server then makes the decision. So you're creating a lot of network traffic to do that. What benefits us and what we feel will benefit the community even greater is to have that machine learning done at the edge, at the camera. If the camera can make the decision, then you're not required to send the bandwidth. You're not required to even send the video over because it's only going to send what's a threat, what it deems as a threat. So with the advent of our newest chipset, we just launched what's called the ArtPack 7, and ArtPack is our branding for our chips, that we're processing chips within our cameras. We're one of the few manufacturers in the world that makes our own processing chip, and it's specifically designed for video. So we're now on the 7th generation of that chip, and it is the kind of the catalyst to being able to do machine learning at the edge. So it has the ability for Access and other companies that are partnered with us to write software on the camera that is able to detect between faces, people, objects. So we call it real-time object detection. And that is kind of the infancy stage of machine learning. And we'll slowly start to see more developments when it comes to machine learning and AI for the security world. So definitely starting to see it more and more. Is it out there everywhere? No, not yet. Probably only a very few percentages of installations actually have either machine learning or AI, but it's becoming more and more available, and you will be seeing it more prevalently in the industry.
So it's certainly on its way.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Like I said, we just launched ArtPack 7. It is available on one camera today, and we're slowly revamping our line so that all our cameras will have that capabilities. And then you'll start to see analytics softwares develop for the camera, for the edge camera, to be able to detect things, object detection, as I indicated.
Certainly look forward to that. Today, we're talking about how technology developments are elevating surveillance and security. We've had the pleasure of having Keith Desaw from Axis Communications Canada to join us and tell us more about that and some of the strategies and innovations. Keith, I want to thank you for coming on the show. It's been really interesting.
Really appreciate it, Richard. Thanks for the time.
Thank you.